Good evening to all. I appreciate your presence this evening. You could have chosen somewhere else to be, but you chose to be here. Not for my benefit, but hopefully for your own. That is to be commended. I believe the Lord would have you be here, and that's where He wants you. Our text for tonight's study is found in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to begin our reading at verse 1 and read through verse 4. The text on the chart are from the New King James Version, unless otherwise indicated. You might read along the text on the chart, or either from the Bible you brought with you will be just as well. 2 Timothy 4 and in verse 1, Paul writing to this young evangelist said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Doctrine here is teaching or doctrine. It is that which is taught. It is that which one is to believe. It is that which one is to obey. Sound doctrine. The word sound, though, an interesting word in the Greek. It's actually the Greek word from which we got our English word hygiene. That ought to give you some indication what the word means. Hygiene has to do with health, does it not? So the word itself means to be healthy, sound, physically well. But of course it's used metaphorically in this text. Here it has reference to doctrine that is true, doctrine that is pure, doctrine that is uncorrupted, teaching that is free from error. That is sound doctrine or sound teaching. Think about sound teaching, if you will, as that which brings spiritual health and life to one's soul. And teaching that is unsound, impure, and corrupted will bring spiritual sickness and death to your soul. Sound doctrine or sound teaching, it's healthy for your soul. Corrupted doctrine, unsound doctrine, is detrimental to your life's salvation. In our text, Timothy is told that all Christians will not react to the Word of God the way they should. Timothy is told that all Christians will not be the kind of Christians they ought to be. And he's talking about Christians in this text. So let us consider some reactions that people will have to sound teaching. First of all, some will hear and accept and continue in sound doctrine or sound teaching. They will hear it, they'll accept it, they'll believe it, they'll obey it. And that's the way it ought to be, is it not? Acts 2, in verse 41, then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. On that occasion, Peter preached the gospel. He preached sound, wholesome, healthy doctrine. And they gladly received it. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and the breaking of bread and prayers. They continued steadfastly. That word continued steadfastly is all one word in the Greek. Some of the newer versions today are rendering it, they devoted themselves to it. That's the idea in the word. They gave themselves up continually to it. And that's what ought to be done with sound doctrine, sound teaching. In Acts 4, in verse 19, Peter and John before the Sanhedrin council said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That which they had seen, they were eyewitnesses to. So they presented testimony as witnesses that was true, pure, uncorrupted. It was sound, wholesome, healthy doctrine. that as well which they had heard from the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 John 1, beginning in verse 1. The elder to the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth. I believe in truth there is in connection with truth. Truth being the gospel message. Now some versions might render it, whom I truly love. I doubt that's what's really under consideration, especially the way the word truth is used in the following verses. So the elder to the elect lady and her children whom I love in truth, that is in connection with truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth. So not only John loves the elect lady and her children, which I believe to be a congregation, but put that aside for a minute. He loves them in connection with the truth that they all love, that they've all learned to believe and obey. Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. This truth abides. That little word abide there, meno in the Greek, translated several different ways. Abide, continue, remain, dwell, live. So when something abides in you, continues in you, remains in you, do we not get the idea? Dwell in you, live in you. It's supposed to be there for a long time. Because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace be upon you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. In truth, that is in connection with truth, and love, I rejoice greatly that I found some of your children walking in truth as we have received commandment from the Father. Walking in truth. That's the way it ought to be, is it not? We ought to be walking, living, behaving, and conducting ourselves in harmony with the truth. When we hear the gospel, when we accept it and continue in this sound doctrine, we ought to continue in it. And we ought to walk and behave and conduct ourselves as children of God in harmony with it. Not only ought we to obey it, but we ought to be devoted to it. And we ought to elevate it to a position higher than anything that man ever has to say. You want some wisdom from the Word of God? We all need help from time to time, do we not? I mean, we need some guidance from time to time. As a matter of fact, we all like to find out what others think about the matter. And sometimes to get the best guidance, what do? We talk to ourselves, because who can give ourselves better guidance than ourselves? If we're guided by the Word of God. Sound, wholesome, healthy doctrine. We ought to elevate it above anything that man has to say. Yes, there's a lot of wisdom in suggestions and recommendations that come to you from man, but what does God say about the problem you have in your life? If you read that book long enough, you'll find the answer to it. Guarantee you. This is the way it ought to be. As Jesus said in John 8 in verse 31, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. That word indeed puts emphasis upon that. That is, you're truly my disciples. If you abide in my word, there's that little word abide, continue, remain, dwell, live in my word. Let it be part of your life. Let it become a part of your character. John 2 and in verse 24, 1 John 2, 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. What have they heard from the beginning? They'd heard the gospel, that wholesome, healthy doctrine, that sound doctrine which had been preached to them. If what you have heard from the beginning, note this, abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. So how do you abide in the Son? How do you abide in Christ? How do you abide in the Father? You remain in fellowship with them. That's how it is. When you abide in the Son and you abide in the Father, you're remaining, continuing, dwelling in fellowship with them, in union with them, in a relationship with them. If you don't abide in the Word, you're not going to be in fellowship with them at all. You're going to sever your relationship with them. You'll be an apostate. Abide in the Word, and you will abide in their relationship, in their union, and in their fellowship. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16, take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine. Continue in them, the wise Paul said to this young evangelist, for in doing this you will save both yourselves and those who hear you. Continue in the doctrine. A doctrine that is sound, a doctrine that is pure, uncorrupted. 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. If Timothy would do that, he would no doubt save himself and save others as well, if he simply continued in sound doctrine and teaching. That's the reaction that some have to sound doctrine in. Some simply hear and accept and continue in sound doctrine, and that's the way it ought to be. But then there are some Christians who will hear sound doctrine and just go their way and forget about having heard it. James, the Lord's brother, illustrates this well with a man looking at himself in the mirror, James 1 and verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer, that is a hearer only of the word, and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. So how is it that one who is only a hearer of the word is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror? He observes himself, goes away, and immediately, straightway, right away, very quickly, forgets what kind of man or what sort of man he was. The man that's looking into the mirror here is a man that looks in the mirror very quickly. He looks into the mirror and he sees his hair needs to be combed, his face needs to be washed, his face needs to be shaved, his teeth needs to be brushed, and he just turns and walks away very quickly. He sees everything that needs to be corrected, but he's indifferent and apathetic about it. He's not interested in it. His appearance does not concern him at all. He's interested in other things in life. Well, sound doctrine cannot help anyone like this. If you're a hearer only of the word, and you're indifferent to it and apathetic to it, not interested in it, not concerned about it, you're not going to be helped by the word until your attitude is changed. The church at Laodicea, Revelation 3 and in verse 15, the Lord said, I know your works, that you're neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Lukewarm, indifferent, apathetic. Doesn't care, unconcerned, uninterested. That's the way some people are with sound doctrine. Some Christians simply hear sound doctrine and just go their way and forget about having heard it. And sound doctrine simply cannot help them. Why? Well, it would be good if they would continue to listen, and maybe the sound doctrine would change their attitude. But until their attitude changes about the Word of God, they'll continue to be hearers only. They'll be like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Another reaction to sound teaching that some Christians have. Some Christians will hear, and instead of correcting that which needs correcting, they're just going to blame others. Like Adam did. Then the man said, of the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. First he blames God for giving him the woman, then he blames the woman. Isn't that what people do when they hear sound doctrine sometimes, especially Christians who need to hear wholesome, healthy, soul-saving message? It cuts and pricks their heart, and they blame others for perhaps their position they're taking or perhaps the sin that they're in. Like Aaron in Exodus 32 and in verse 22. So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people that they are set on evil. Well, he is the one that molded the calf from their gold, but he blames the people for his error and for his sin. Like Saul, first king of Israel, 1 Samuel 15 in verse 3. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them. But kill both man and woman, infant, nursing child, ox, and sheep, camel, and donkey. We might think that's very extreme. That is, God is telling him to eliminate this people and all that they have. Eliminate them, wipe them from the face of the earth. Why? Well, because of the influence they have on the people of God. That's how God loves his people. That's to the extent that he would go during this particular period of time to save his people Israel. But you think Saul did what God said do? 1 Samuel 15 and verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. Saul didn't obey. He didn't obey at all. And in his disobedience, whom did he blame? Himself? No. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 13, then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to them, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and lowing of oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. They have brought them. That is the people. Who's in charge? He was. He blamed the people for the sin that he had committed. Blaming others simply will help no one. But that's what some Christians do when they hear sound doctrine, sound teaching. Instead of correcting themselves, they simply just blame others. Some Christians also will hear and then act ugly when they hear sound doctrine. You ever known anyone like that? You ever been in a congregation that's had any kind of problems at all, regardless of whether it's a doctrinal problem or some other problem? Some of the ugliest people on earth in regard to their conduct and behavior toward others sometime are Christians. The way they act and treat one another, you would suppose that they're really not spiritual brethren in Christ. They're really brothers and sisters physically, because sometimes they fight like that in a physical family. So some Christians will hear sound, wholesome, healthy doctrine that's able to save their soul, and they simply act ugly in regard to hearing it, like Diotrephes did. 3 John verse 9 and 10, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds or his works which he does, prating against us with malicious words, words intended to cause harm and injury. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, that is, those who would travel and preach the gospel, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. What an ugly attitude and disposition that man had. But that's the way some Christians are in regard to sound doctrine. That's the way Diotrephes was in regard to sound doctrine. The people who were coming were preaching sound doctrine. He refused to accept them. Refused to even accept John and that which he wrote. And so he acted ugly. No doubt he probably became angry, as some Christians do when they hear sound doctrine as well. Galatians 4 and verse 16, Paul said, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? When Paul first preached the gospel among the churches of Galatia, they treated him like an angel of the Lord. They treated him like the Lord himself. They would have done anything to help and assist him in any of the needs that he might have had. As a matter of fact, they even said that they would have plucked out their eyes and given them to him. That's a way of saying, whatever you need or whatever we can do for you, we're willing to do. And so he was indeed a friend and someone that they truly loved. But when he preached the truth regarding Gentiles and salvation, have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Sometimes the fastest way to make an enemy is to tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. We always ought to be truthful. And it's sad to say, but that's the fastest way sometime in these days it is. Just tell people the truth and they will become your enemy. Oh, they may have loved you, done anything for you in times past, but tell them the truth, they become angry and exhibit hatred and hostility towards you. Have an illustration of this in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 8 and following. The occasion of this text finds the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah working together on one occasion. They have a common enemy, Syria, who has taken the city of Ramoth-Gilead from the Israelites. And the king of Israel and the king of Judah come together about this problem in order to solve it. So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. The king of Israel is Ahab. There is still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. Note this, but I hate him because he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not a king say such things. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, bring Micaiah, the son of Imla, quickly. This man is a true prophet of God. He is going to tell the king of Israel what he needs to know, what he needs to hear. He's going to tell him the truth. The king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, having put on their robes and sat on his throne, at a threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. Now Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, had made horns of iron for himself, and he said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall gore the Syrians until they are destroyed. And all the prophets prophesied, so saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hands of the kings. So all these false prophets are telling the king exactly what he wants to hear. He wants to go fight against the Syrians, and since he wants to go fight against the Syrians, the prophets know he wants to go fight against the Syrians, and so they say, go fight. God is with you. Then the messenger who had gone to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, now listen, the words of the prophets with one accord encourage the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them and speak encouragement. What he's telling him is, just tell the king what he wants to hear. Don't tell him the truth. Just tell him what he wants to hear. And Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, that I will speak. Then he came to the king, and the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to war against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall we refrain? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. Micaiah, a true prophet of God, said that. What sarcasm. Note the exclamation point at the end. If you ever thought sarcasm was necessary in order to make a point, it is. Some people don't like sarcasm in the preaching of the word, but here you have a prophet of God, inspired of the Holy Spirit, use sarcasm on this occasion to make a point. And it made the point. Note how the king responded. So the king said to him, how many times shall I make you swear you tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Because he knew Micaiah wasn't telling the truth. He understood that sarcasm. Verse 17, then he said, I saw Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each return to his house in peace. That's what Micaiah told him. I saw Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. Of course, their shepherd is Jehoshaphat. He would be killed in battle. Before he went to battle, because of what Micaiah told him, he put him in prison, fed him with bread and water. Yes, some Christians hear, and then they act ugly. They become hostile. They become very angry. If you don't want to make them that way, don't tell them the truth. But if you want to save their soul and yours as well, tell them the truth. Because others are going to show their hateful contempt and disdain for you because you take a stand for the truth anyway. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. The Corinthians showed some contempt and disdain for the Apostle Paul. Those who were being influenced in the congregation at Corinth by some false apostles, as he would refer to them later on as, were causing the brethren at Corinth to turn against the Apostle Paul. The false apostles were simply saying, well, Paul is very bold and courageous in the letters that he writes, but he's really very weak. If he stood in your presence, he wouldn't speak like he does in his writing. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 8. For even if I should boast somewhat more about our authority, which the Lord gave us for edification and not for your destruction, I shall not be ashamed, lest I seem to terrify you by letters. For his letters, they say, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. That's what they're going to say about you when they become angry and hateful towards you if you hold to the truth and tell people the truth. So some Christians simply will hear sound doctrine and then act ugly. Well, didn't Jesus prophesy and tell us that's the way it was going to be? Matthew 10 and verse 22. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures or perseveres to the end will be saved. You're going to be hated. You might as well be hated for telling the truth. Because there's enough hate in this world, you're going to be hated regardless of whether you're righteous or unrighteous. And so you might as well live a righteous life, take a stand for the truth, and always tell people the truth. Give them the wholesome, healthy, sound doctrine that will save your soul and theirs as well. Then there are some Christians who will hear sound doctrine and follow it for a time, but then they will simply give it up. We note several examples. Matthew 13 in verse 22. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becomes unfruitful. So many, if just where I lived, and I'm sure just where you live as well, if just the people who have been saved by the gospel of Christ and their obedience to it in years past, if they continued in faithfulness, if they continued to follow the sound, wholesome, healthy doctrine they originally obeyed, the church building would be filled tonight in every congregation throughout the land. But some Christians are going to hear sound doctrine, sound teaching. They're going to follow it for a time and then they're simply going to give it up, fall away, abandon it. Acts 13 and verse 13. Now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Is that because he forsook Christ? I doubt it. He followed the sound, wholesome, healthy doctrine for a time. We do not know why he turned back. The Scripture doesn't tell us. But it's a good illustration of people turning back. He didn't fall away because we know that later on he was faithful. He was faithful. If he did, he came back. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Having loved this present world, all that the world has to offer. You know, the church building would be full tonight if people weren't influenced so by the world this evening. There's so much in this world that just simply draws our attention away from spiritual matters. We set aside one day a week because the Lord has set aside that day as a day of worship. But the world has so influenced us that we can't give Him but maybe 2 hours on Sunday morning, 3 hours at best. Can't give Him any on Sunday night, and Lord, don't ask me to give You any time on Wednesday night for sure. And certainly don't ask me to give up my worldly time during the week for a gospel meeting. That tells us, really, our attitude and disposition toward the salvation of our souls, does it not? When we think more about the world and the things that the world has to offer than what God has to bless our lives with in Christ Jesus. Acts 20 and verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, Paul says to the Ephesian elders, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. 1 Corinthians, or Acts 20 and 29. For I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Yes, people will hear sound doctrine for a time and just simply fall away. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same man and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in, literally into the name or into the person of Paul? Of course not. But these Corinthians, of course, had heard sound, wholesome, healthy doctrine, pure, uncorrupted doctrine in times past, but had fallen away into division, strife, and contention. Was Paul crucified for you? No. Were you baptized in, preposition there is into the name of Paul, that is into the person of Paul. They were baptized into the person of Christ. They were baptized into relationship with Him. But now they think that they have gotten into a relationship with these other individuals instead of Christ. No, they were baptized into relationship with Christ and Him only. Not with anyone else. 1 Corinthians 3 and in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you're still carnal, fleshly minded. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Absolutely. They have obeyed sound doctrine in times past, but simply given it up. When one does that, it simply makes them unfit for the kingdom of heaven. Luke 9 in verse 62, Jesus said to them, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." The kingdom of heaven simply has no room for those who look back when they're called to go forward. Those who would follow Jesus must simply commit unconditionally to Him, severing even family ties when the kingdom of God demands it. That's just too much for some people, though. It wasn't too much for Christ to give His life on the cross on behalf of their sins, but it's too much for some to sever family ties and hold to sound, wholesome, healthy doctrine. They'd rather be wrong than to be right with the Lord. We're simply unfit if we turn back. Some Christians will hear sound doctrine and then correct that which is wrong. And that's the way it ought to be. Matthew 18 in verse 15. "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So if your brother has sinned against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. If he will not hear you, take with you one or two more that don't know anything about the situation and that are not witnesses to his sin. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established." You know the individual is guilty of sin. You know it because you witnessed it. And so you go to your brother. If he hears sound doctrine, wholesome doctrine, that seeks to make correction to his life, you've gained your brother. But if he'll not hear you, take one or two more with you who also are witnesses to the sin that he has committed. If you just take two other people that don't know anything about it, you've not proved anything to him. You're probably not going to gain him because he's probably going to come angry with you and say, "Well, the only one who knows about this is me and you." And so the only way it's going to get out if you go spreading it. And so what do you want to do? You want to go tell others? Take two or three witnesses with you. Those who are privy to the same knowledge and the same sin that you are. You'll gain a brother. That's the way it ought to be. He'll be corrected by that. Matthew 18 and verse 17. "And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you a heathen and a tax collector." Yes, he might not believe you, but he'll believe two or three witnesses because every word is established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. It's established, proven to be true. Can't get out of it. Has no way out of it. He needs to repent. If he does not, he'll be like a heathen and a tax collector. Galatians 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." Yes, Christians hear sound teaching and correct that which is wrong, and that's what we need to be busy doing. Those who have fallen away from sound teaching, we need to be seeking to bring them back. Galatians 2 and in verse 11. "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, 'If you being a Jew live in the manner of a Gentile and not as the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as Jews?' And what did Peter do? He corrected himself. That's what people do. They want to live a Christian life. Some Christians who hear sound doctrine they correct themselves. They correct that which is wrong and get on with their life because they want to be right with God. 1 John 1 and verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. What does that passage teach us in regard to our study tonight? It teaches us that all of us are going to need sound doctrine or teaching at one time or another. We're all going to have to hear it. The big question is, when we hear it, how are we going to respond to it? Are we going to make correction? We're all going to sin. We're all going to need to hear the truth about it. Let's correct it. Let's make it right. Some Christians will hear sound doctrine and change to a teacher that will please them. They're like the king who only wants a prophet. It's going to tell him what he wants to hear. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. For the time will come when they not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, the Christians who do this still want to be religious for some reason. Do you get this? They've turned away from sound, wholesome, healthy doctrine that's able to save their soul. And then they heap up for themselves teachers that are simply tell them the smooth words they want to hear, the pleasing words they want to hear, the words that make them feel good about the condition they're in as a sinner. So for some reason, Christians like this still want to be religious for some reason. But they don't want sound, wholesome, healthy doctrine. And so they simply find a teacher who will tell them what they want to hear. That's all they'll do. You see it in your day. It happened in the first century. It will continue to happen till the Lord comes. Sound, wholesome, healthy doctrine being preached at one congregation. Someone doesn't like it. And so they go find a preacher that'll tell them what they want to hear. Now there's a great deal about sound doctrine which simply does not smooth itching ears. Because it cuts. It hurts. It pricks one's conscience. It's supposed to do that. It's supposed to make us think about serious things. Sober things. It's supposed to affect our conscience. It's supposed to touch us in the heart. It is supposed to save our soul. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, that is, convict. With the preaching of the word, you convict one of his sin. That is, you prove to him by the word of God that he's guilty. And you rebuke him for that. Exhort him then. Encourage him and admonish him to correct himself. With all long suffering and teaching. Because it will save his soul. James 1 and verse 21. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able. It has the power and the ability to save your soul. Romans 1 and verse 16. This is my favorite passage of all New Testament verses right here. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, what is? The gospel is. It is the power of God too, that is in order to salvation for everyone who believes. For everyone who believes what? For everyone who believes the gospel. But it's not just a mere mental assent of belief. It is an obedient belief. Many people believe the gospel. They're not willing to obey it. Even the demons believe, remember, James chapter 2, but they're not willing to obey. So the belief of the gospel is an obedient belief. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God to, in order to, salvation for everyone who believes it. For the Jew first and also for the Greek, that is, for every man. It is God's power that He exerts in your life to bring about the salvation of your soul. We should present it as it is pure, true, wholesome, healthy, sound doctrine that is healthy for a soul that is healthy and that will make a soul healthy through eternal life. I ask you, what is your attitude toward the gospel tonight? What's your attitude toward sound doctrine? Have you obeyed the gospel? Mark 16, in verse 15, Jesus told the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes what? He who believes the gospel and is baptized will be saved. Have you obeyed the gospel? Do you even believe it? Do you even believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? If you don't believe that mere fact, just read and study the Gospel of John. It's hard to study the Gospel of John and not come away with a better understanding that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you believe that He is this hour? You willing to confess that this hour, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? You can become a Christian. You can render yourself up to wholesome, healthy, sound doctrine. Doctrine that is pure, doctrine that will save your life. Or you can reject it. Be like the man in the mirror. Hear the gospel that needs to be heard and needs to be obeyed, but go away from it having heard it. Like the man in the mirror that's indifferent to it and apathetic, uninterested, and unconcerned with the salvation of his soul. The condition of your soul is in your hand. God has done everything. There's nothing more He can do. It's simply left up to you and your obedience. If you're subject to the invitation, let it be known as we stand, sing the song selected.